It's nice to be here again. Thanks for having me back after I absconded for quite a while. I seem to have other small fish to fry for the last little while. You might be wondering what on earth I've got to do with trumpets. Never seen her play a trumpet. What does she know about it? Thank you, Mark. Well, maybe I played in the back row of Nita's groups once or twice, but I can't keep up with those kids. I'm a very late comer to brass. I just love brass. I think it's in my DNA from some uncles who used to play in brass bands. I just love the sound of brass. I have been known to put earphones on and with marching music, march around some netball courts near my place. Hopefully it looks as though I'm just walking, but I know that I'm marching. I did find a fun teacher to teach me the trumpet. He completely got what I was trying to achieve, which was not very much. And I did a couple of grade exams at the con, just to make me practice. On both of those occasions, I was asked, was I the accompanist? Lining up with all the kids. Anyway, as you know, any Bible talk is not about the speaker. It's about maybe understanding a little more from God's word and making it come alive for us, because that's what it's all about. So I hope that happens in some small way for you today. I know there are much more competent Bible students here than me today, so if you want to correct anything or add anything as we go along, please do. It's been interesting, if sometimes a little confusing, to try and extract this information from the Bible. It talks about trumpets and horns, and every time the word blast appears, which is why we're in here. Sometimes the information's a bit scattered and a bit piecemeal, so if there are any inaccuracies, please don't hesitate to let me know. On the internet, of course, there's everything from shofar playing for dummies to the Guinness Book of Records of 800 shofars playing at once on a beach. I don't recommend that one. I also don't recommend Googling the last trump. Yes, and I might suggest that you either turn your hearing aid down or put your fingers in your ears. Are we going, Julie, here? Thank you very much. Oh, don't worry about the video. If you can't...
You need to tell me when you want the next slide, I'll push it forward for you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. If anybody is able to get into the internet, we can't get that video, of course.
Oh, you really need a visual for that. It really doesn't matter very much at all. So my plan, are we up on the, sorry, I can't see what's on the, done that? Yep, next one please. My plan is to look at the trumpet types in the Bible, mainly the shofar. Thank you, Margaret, for lending your ram's horn there.
And,
oh yeah, you'll see it in a minute. Yeah, great big heavy thing. I don't know how the poor animals walk around with two of those on their heads. They're extremely heavy. So then a little look at the sounds that they make, and then when they were used in Bible times, when they're used today, and maybe even the future. Next one, thanks Julie. Do you have to stay up there the whole time to do this? Okay. Some references that I used, which I think should be acknowledged. Next one, thanks. Oh, that's the We might come back to that if it's possible. If it's not, it doesn't matter. No, okay. You can have a look at that at home. It is quite interesting how they, the horns are made out of the same material as your fingernails. So they go really soft when they're heated or wet, and they straighten out the big curly horns and then drill a hole down through the middle. According to the Talmud, a shofar can be made from the horn of any animal except that of a cow. The Mishnah holds that any kind of horn can be blown except oxen or calves in order not to remind God of the golden calf, so not to distress the Lord. A ram's horn is preferred for two reasons. It evokes the ram that was offered instead of Isaac. And its bent shape is said to, this is a bit far-fetched, but it's said to evoke the humility we feel as we stand before God. Not sure about that one. There's no requirement for ritual slaughter, and theoretically the horn can come from a non-kosher animal because it doesn't actually go in your mouth. Right, so here's how they're made, which you can't see, but you can have a look at that.
Sorry? It doesn't go in your mouth.
Sorry?
It doesn't go in your mouth.
Oh, it doesn't go in your mouth. No, I'll show you in a minute. Well, I'll show you now if you like. It doesn't go in your mouth, it goes on your mouth. And I've done it out in the bush. I wasn't on the other side of it, but it goes a long way. Theoretically, you can get different notes, but I'm not that clever. No mouthpiece, just a hole.
That's just a hole.
Just a hole.
So they put it in their mouth, but they're not eating it, so that's the point, isn't it?
Well, you're putting it to your mouth, not actually. It's not that, because that won't do anything. That doesn't. Yeah, same as with a trumpet.
Mm. So do you rest it on your lips?
Mm. It's your lips vibrating.
Right.
Okay. And I'm a bit handicapped in the way of lips, which is why I'm probably not much of a trumpeter. Actually, there's a pattern I'll show you later, the pattern of the calls. According to rabbinic literature, the shofar says, "Awake, sleepers, from your sleep, and slumberers from your slumber." So that will certainly do it. Thanks, Julie. Next one. I can't do it from here, can I? No. It's just a picture. It's just a picture of two little trumpets anyway. After the tabernacle and its equipment were fully assembled and tested, Moses was given some last-minute projects and instructions that had to be completed. One of these was the fabrication of two metal signalling instruments, the two silver trumpets. And they seem to be short, stubby little things. Not too sure about that. They're just hammered silver. And they weren't actually used in the praise service, as I gather. They were used for signalling, for gathering people together. They were made from a solid lump of silver, hammered and curved into shape, so it's a bit like a straight French horn, really. This would be a pretty basic, not silver version of it. My dad had this, I don't know why, don't know where it came from, don't know why he had it, but probably more like that. But this just makes
makes it. Anyway, here it goes. You can make different notes on that, and that would carry it. It would be something like that, I suppose. Sorry, I'll put you in that direction. it's a bit like the last post, really. This is a similar version of it that my trumpet teacher happened to have standing up in his room. But this one needs a mouthpiece in it. So if you can imagine that blasting out over the camp, it's a good sound. Actually, while I'm doing that, there were two main calls, as I gather, with the silver trumpets. The call to break camp, which was called the Thurua, which sounded something like... The call to break camp. Sorry. Get you out of bed. Yeah. I'm packing up your camp, wouldn't it? And the other one was called the Tekia. The Tekia sounded something like... Something like it. But you can see you can kind of get a flavour of how the camp might have felt out in the wilderness with these blasts going on. Moses, as far as I know, Moses was told to make two. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's huge. I don't know how many times. Don't know. I just found a snatch of those two patterns printed on one of the references somewhere. So they were for calling and directing the vast number of people that Moses had to control, and you could imagine he would need people to be taught what those things meant, because they didn't have loudspeakers and they didn't have mobile phones to tell each other what to do. So that out in the desert would be very effective, I should think. Oh yeah, thanks, Julie.
What was that?
What, sorry?
That on that slide.
Numbers 10 verse 8.
Numbers
10 verse 8. Do you want to read that out, Nancy?
The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and they shall speak to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. So that's number 2. Yeah, chapter 10, verse 1. Mm-hmm. Make two silver trumpets, a hammered work, for calling the congregation and directing the movement of the camp. Mm-hmm. So it was in the temple as well, I think.
Apparently they were not used in worship. They were only used to summon that stage. Oh, that's that picture from the Arch of Titus that we use for lots of reasons. You can see the trumpet sticking out there. Kind of. kind of. They're also on coins. Thanks, Julie. Oh, the next one's. That's how they're made. They're also on coins, which came from the time of rebellion. This is after Hadrian left Israel in about 132, and then the Jews began to rebel on a large scale. And they minted coins with slogans like the freedom of Israel, written in Hebrews. And you can see the trumpets on there as well, the stubby ones. One commentator notes that it would have taken a great deal of breath to sustain notes on an instrument of that shape, the stubby one, and I can vouch for that. And later artifacts show that some people did it with circular breathing, like the Aborigines do with didgeridoos, but apparently that is not, is prohibited in ritual soundings today. The metal trumpets would be louder and more consistent in their timbre, and they wouldn't crack like the animal products. Also less likely, somebody says, to go mouldy and smell. One reference speaks about kosher, shofar breath, which, that's right. So in today's metal instruments, you have a spit valve, which people empty, and coming out, it drips and it's shaking, you think, oh, but of course it's not spit. What is it? Condensation, yes. Nobody's spitting into their trumpets. But I can imagine that a horn, if it wasn't properly cleaned out, could be a bit unpleasant. Well, I'll just show those, just to tell the difference with a metal sound, a proper metal sound. Nothing much to do with anything, but I like making good noise. And I live in a unit, so I don't get to do it very often. Unfortunately, that wasn't in my exams. Had a very mediocre result. I went into the exam and said, I cannot play scales from memory. And a very unimaginative lady, seeing me at 70 years old, said, oh, well, I'm sorry, but scales by memory are in the syllabus. You have to do it. So I made a hash of that, that's for sure. Thanks, Julie. The first mention of heavenly trumpets, which must have been absolutely terrifying, was 3 months after leaving Egypt. Is that legible?
No.
Somebody got good eyes can read it out, please. Just put your hand up. Who can read it?
I can read it from here. But then I'll be looking at it and not speaking. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice.
Thank you.
Moses,
kind of imagine the voice of God as coming in thunder, don't you? The words formed in a thundery sound. But anyway, it must have been terrifying. I was just thinking, it really makes you wonder how the golden calf came about when they'd had this evidence. But anyway, I can't say I wouldn't have made a golden calf either. So. Let me done that bit. Moses, as we read, was specifically told that this was to be an ordinance forever. And as time went on, the functions of the silver trumpets was expanded to include a time of war, new moons, over burnt offerings, and peace offerings, and more, even to announcing a rebellion. Sheba, the son of Bichri, in 2 Samuel 20, blew a trumpet and said, "We have no share in David," in the rather gory account in 2 Samuel. Of course, horns feature centre stage in the fall of Jericho, but it's a little confusing because the terms horns and trumpets seem to be used interchangeably, so I can't really help you there, except I think it would have been a loud noise on that seventh day. Thanks, Julie. You should be up to Joshua 6. Is that what's up there?
No.
No? Next one. Yep. Can't see it?
I'll read.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll read it then. I've got the thing here. "And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark." Oh, this is the Jericho, obviously. "On the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that..." And we know what happened. So the word cacophony comes to mind, and I think the people in Jericho must have wondered what on earth was going on. Edersheim says that the shofar alone was blown at New Year, and on fast days only trumpets. So we'll have more about New Year later. I thought for sure there would have been loud trumpets at the anointing of David. It was such an important event. But no, there's only one solitary horn, it seems, when Zadok anointed Solomon. However, when we get to the crowning of Joash in 2 Kings 11, we read that all the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets. So they certainly knew how to make a racket, and they still do, actually. Has anyone been to Israel and heard the trumpets? Yeah, yeah. What's it sound like?
Loud.
Loud. Not what we call tuneful, though. No. Not very appealing.
I think the emotion.
So when worship was about to be restored in Jerusalem after the exile and the temple foundation was laid, we read. Thanks, Jo. You read that?
Oh, okay. Alright. Ezra 3. "When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord."
That sounds a bit more tuneful, doesn't it?
Cymbals.
Yeah, cymbals. I'm not sure cymbals are tuneful, but it does sound as though the praise songs we would possibly recognise as music, whereas these other calls were to gather people together. Later in temple worship, the real service of praise was only with the voice. What instrumental music there was only to accompany the song. And the blasts of the priests formed no part of the music of the services. They were more for summoning the people, come on, get together, and for signalling beginning and ends of important times. Maybe they're a bit like the tune that the ABC uses to introduce their news. Hey, might prick up your ears. Here's something to listen to. Sometimes the silver trumpets and the ram's horns were used together in all sorts of complicated patterns which I could not get my head around.
Up to 100 or more blasts for different purposes. It's funny how often the word blast comes up. It is a blast. And I suppose it had to be to carry over the distances that it needed to carry in the wilderness particularly. Oh, thanks, Julie. We should be up to Leviticus 23. Yep. The feasts chapter in Leviticus 23 gives Moses the instructions for the Sabbath, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Weeks, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. But trumpets are only mentioned in verse 23, the feast, 24, the Feast of Trumpets. This has become Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, the first day of the seventh month. This year, 2020, you might be interested to know, Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, is on Friday the 18th of September. And this is when the shofar would be blown in the synagogue services. It might be worth going to have a listen.
Do you want that, those verses read, Wendy?
Yeah, could do. Okay. Thank you.
So Leviticus 23, starting at verse 23, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord.
A blowing of trumpets. It's a funny phrase, isn't it? There's a Rabbi Gaon has compiled a list of 10 reasons why the shofar is blown on New Year's. And here are five of the reasons. One, its piercing wail serves to awake slumbering souls that have grown complacent. It evokes the shofar blasts that were heard when God descended on Mount Sinai and gave the Torah. It recalls the near sacrifice of Isaac and his replacement with the ram. It echoes the cries of the prophets who urged Israel to mend their ways. It gives hope, mirroring the sound of the great shofar that will call together the Jewish people who are scattered to the corners of the earth at the time of the coming of Messiah.
The great shofar.
The expert who blows the shofar is called a Baal Tekiah, maybe. Literally, master of the blast. And this role is a great honour. Every male Jew is eligible for this sacred office, providing he's acceptable to the congregation. The one who blows the shofar on Rosh Hashanah should be learned in the Torah and shall be God-fearing. A woman may not blow the shofar for men, though she may do it for herself and other women. Maybe. So, as I said before, the sounding of the trumpet is not and was not a siren that signals danger. It was not for warning. It was and is to summon the attention of the people and a call to advance as one. Paul makes reference to this in 1 Corinthians 14. Thanks, Julie.
For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? Maybe Paul was thinking of Nehemiah's, thanks Julie, Nehemiah's inspiring words to his workers. Nehemiah 4. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said, "The work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us here." Oh, there, sorry. "Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us."
It's very affirmative, isn't it?
Yes.
And strong. That's what's... And also bright. Like it's sort of a hopeful sound.
I wonder if God gave animals horns for that purpose. That's amazing. The shofar factory, the video that we couldn't see, is interesting. Because it's made of keratin, which is the same as your fingernails, they soften it with heat and straighten it out. And so in the corner of the room in the factory, there's a great pile of horns. Great big pile, and they just take them one by one, warm them up, straighten them out, and spin them on a lathe sort of a thing and make a hole through the middle, and that's it. Polish the outside, and that's it, and they all have a slightly different sound.
Do they just go back into their curly shape, or do they get shaped?
No, they don't go back. No.
Oh, they just go
They stay. Well, they straighten them a little. They straighten the end bit so they can get a hole.
Right.
Get a hole through.
What are you saying? That's curves. So what are you saying?
That they straighten them out. They straighten out the head bit where it's thin so they can get a hole. Well, actually, now I'm coming to think. They obviously can't make a hole all the way through because it's too curly. So it must, I think as it grows it becomes hollow. So it's probably only the growing bit that's solid. And that's where they have to drill through. And then they polish the outside quite a bit. Just like, you know, you can polish your fingernails if you're so inclined. That some of them are really beautiful.
And it's not straight.
So is this one being straightened?
No, I don't think so. Mark, you would No, I don't think so. And some of them are made, you know, the animal, the kudu, has a great, it has a thing like that on its head. they can make a, it's normally they make an air passage through. They can use that too. The sounding of the shofar and the hearing of the shofar, thanks Julie, are classified as a mitzvah. I've only heard the word mitzvah before as a, like a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah for 14-year-old boys. But apparently to do a mitzvah, you can hear the sound of the shofar, which gives you some brownie pops, I suppose you might call them, irreverently. The shofar speaks to the soul of every Jew. So a mitzvah, I thought I had the meaning of a mitzvah here. Oh, here we are, it's up on the screen, is it? Can you read it? A mitzvah is a good deed done from religious duty. Oh, no. Must be the one after Julie, thanks. Or an individual act of human kindness. Or keeping any one of the 613 commandments in the law.
613?
It's a mitzvah. I didn't say I have to keep them all. This is any one, plus additional ones later added by the rabbis. If anyone knows any more about that, please tell us later. The the sages indicated that a mitzvah was to hear the sound of the shofar. The shofar speaks to the soul of every Jew. So maybe it was like a refocus sort of a thing. Hear this and center yourself again. Refocus on what's important. The sages went so far as to consider that a shofar blown into a pit or cave and decide whether a person who hears the original sound or the echo has fulfilled the mitzvah. So the same is an echo as genuine as the original sound. I think that's what the sort of thing that sages talked about a lot. They decided that if the listener hears the reverberation, the mitzvah is not valid. Most modern authorities hold that hearing a shofar on the radio or the internet is also not valid. However, one should consult a competent rabbi if an unusually pressing situation arises, as some authorities believe that an electronically produced sound is better than not doing the mitzvah at all. So you've all performed your mitzvah today because you've heard it in person. One Jewish site, it's amazing to find anything on the internet, one Jewish site says, can't make it to synagogue? Contact your local rabbi. He'll do his best to arrange for a shofar blower to pay you a personal visit. Presumably, check with your neighbours first. Don't do it after 8 p.m. However, apparently if someone is passing by when the call is heard and he stands still, it's presumed that he intended to hear it because he stood still. So the sages have refined this to the nth degree, I think. Jewish law also states that a shofar may not be sounded on the Sabbath due to the potential that the player may inadvertently carry it, which is a class of forbidden Sabbath work. I gather that a threefold blast is sounded on the eve of Sabbath to summon the people to prepare, and another threefold blast announces the actual commencement of Sabbath. Has anyone heard these while in Israel? No? No? I did have a video there too, but it doesn't really matter. No great loss. We'll leave it there for a moment. Thanks, Julie. I gather from reading that the calls are used in many different ways today. The most prescribed Orthodox services have the number of blasts strictly stipulated, usually 100 or 101. The minimum requirement is to hear 30 sounds. After the service is over, it's customary to blow another 30 sounds to confuse the Satan. There is an International Day of Shofar Study in the month preceding Jewish New Year, so people can go take their dusty shofar off the shelf and go and learn how to blast it for New Year.
Instead of fireworks,
yes. Shofar has also featured in soundtracks to Godspell, Planet of the Apes, and Return of the Jedi. So next time you see those, you can listen to this shofar. Can't say I've seen any of those. Mitzvah. Can you go on to, please, Julie, to a photo of a little alcove in a brick wall? Anyone seen this in Jerusalem? In a small synagogue whose name I lost and couldn't find again. There's this shofar ready to announce the coming of Messiah. And there's a flask of oil there ready to anoint him. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Probably got a little hammer next to it. When Jesus comes, break the glass.
Is that in every synagogue or just...
No, just one apparently.
Like a nursing home.
Here's a quote from a Christian Jew, which I thought was really interesting. For us Jewish believers in Yeshua, the central theme upon hearing the shofar is joy in the knowledge that we have already allowed the seriousness of our sins to alarm us. We have heard and received the good news that God delivers us from calamity through the sacrifice of our righteous Messiah. Isn't that lovely?
So who says that? A Christ believer?
A Christian Jew.
A Christian Jew.
And of course, one of our most favourite verses, 1 Corinthians, thanks Julie, is that there?
Yeah.
Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul uses that terminology a lot about trumpets. That's about all I've got on actual trumpets. One of my very most favourite pieces of music is Jesus is Coming. I just love that music. And you might remember the song from it with the sound of trumpets. Julie, I did have the words there, Julie. On the screen. With the sound of trumpets announcing from the sky, Jesus is coming from heaven on high. Let's finish with that.
Thank you.
just put the last slide up, Julie? Yeah, thank you. It does make you think, doesn't it? What will it be like? And you might remember from Jesus' coming, it goes on to say, say, friend, will you be ready?
Yes.
Thank you.
Can I play my next favourite song off Jesus is Coming?
It's the one that says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep. I know among us here there are a lot who've lost partners and husbands, and a lot are asleep. And I just love this song. Can I just play it?
Yes.
You too.